That would certainly explain why the Erkennans had sent the hit squad dressed like ghosts. They'd do anything to keep their little secret till they were ready to spring their trap on Tony.
Yeah,
she said, regaining some of her martial moxie.
I know exactly where he is, and I'm not telling you shit, Fisher. You go your way, I'll go mine.
She started to pull away and I stopped her. I got her stunner stuck in my gut for my trouble. Somehow, despite what I had just seen in the shootout, I knew hers would work on me. That's just my goddamn luck. Hold up there, Marshal. Hear me out.
Make it fast. You said yourself we're about to have more company, and I have business to attend to.
You need my help. Not only do you have the Erkennans gunning for you, but your own service is out to rein you in.
And it smells like shit down here. Tell me something I don't know.
Point is, gunning for Blaylock on your own ends just one way. You join Mustafar, forever embracing in the cold arms of Mother Universe. When she glanced back at the Marshal's booth, I knew I had her. What she said next didn't make a damned bit of difference, even when she burned me with those flamers again when she said it.
I'll never work with you. Let them come and take me. Let the Erkennans kill me. At least I'll die.
Yeah, yeah, true to your goddamned ideals, I said. Darrow tried to jerk her arm free, and I yanked her back against the sewer's wall.
Do that again, Fisher, and to hell with due process. I'll kill you right here and now.
She would, too. I could see clear intent behind the flames. She'd already tossed out the Marshal's manual to focus on what justice demanded. Wehrguild, in blood for Mustafar. At this point, I was in her way. I gambled and let her go. A little trust might go a long way. She didn't bolt. Listen to me, Darrow. You might get to Blaylock, and then what? He'll never stand trial because no one wants him to stand trial. Not the talkies, not the Erkennans.
Why wouldn't the Erkennans want him to be arrested? He stole their tech.
No one stole anything, I hissed. Mindful of the watchers, I pointed my .38 at the ceiling down the alley and fired off around. More like turtles than rats, the locals pulled back inside their holes.
This was all some kind of setup by Rauf Erkennan. Whatever Blaylock did, they let him do it.
For their own reasons. I shook my head.
This is the bigger picture you never get to see, Darrow. And someone like you, be glad of it.
The look on her face told me that wasn't enough. She was just confused, overwhelmed, not thinking or not able to think. I grabbed her arm again and dragged her closer to the booth, away from the rats. They were getting brave again. I said,
maybe the Erkennans sold Blaylock a bill of goods. Maybe they promised to set him up on Titan for life. Who the hell knows?
Point is, they're behind the whole thing.
You're lying. Why would they do that?
Leverage. Against the talkies. To strengthen their own position, take over the company. Hell, even I don't understand it all.
One thing I do understand. Your little crusade for justice doesn't mean shit to anyone but you.
She took it in. I could practically see the wheels turning inside her head. Her ideals as a marshal, extolled by the five-pointed star on her chest, pledged to protect and enforce, battled a lifetime of living in a system ruled by the bottom line.
Why do you think Rauf Erkennan sent these killers after you? I pressed.
You need my gun if you want a chance in hell of setting things right for Mustafar. The radio inside the booth crackled, demanding someone answer. More marshals were definitely inbound, probably to arrest Darrow. Once they had her, they were just as likely to kill her as incarcerate her, outside the public spotlight of the real story, of course. She pulled away, and this time I didn't fight her. Darrow was headed for the booth. She was going to tend to Mustafar, I figured. Maybe put something over his face or conduct some lawman's ritual. Do one of those things we humans feel compelled to do when death takes someone we care about. As if the ritual is about their dignity, and not our own need to cover up the fact that death's coming for us, too. But Darrow surprised me and stepped right over him. I heard her opening cabinets in the booth. She came out with extra chargers for her stunner and a flash grenade, which she hung on a back belt loop.
Come on, she said. Blaylock's not far.
The job. The heads of the turtle rats pulled back in their holes, only to edge out again after we'd passed. They pointed their feeders for the real story at our backs. Their pale skin, damned near translucent in the dim light, was the brightest thing about them. Shaggy-haired and clothed in rags, they kept to the darkness. They reminded me of the Morlocks from that old H.G. Wells novel, or maybe vampires with bad skin. Leaving them behind us made me edgy. These people trouble? Darrow gave a muffled laugh.
The Moonies? They're harmless. The last thing they want is trouble.
Moonies? I chuckled. That's what they call themselves?
It's what they're called. Does it matter?
Guess not. One of the pale faces got daring and tried to get a close-up. I stopped, turned on my heel, and snatched the feeder from his hand. Without so much as a, hey, that's mine, he scurried back into his hole. I dropped it in my pocket. That should keep the rest of them from being so friendly.
That's the most expensive thing that man owns, Darrow said.
Not anymore. She slowed her pace as we neared the end of the sewer's main street. Which way? I asked.
Blaylock is left, Darrow whispered.
I started to move, but she reached a hand out. Big grip for such a little marshal.
We go right.
She nodded back behind us. I turned my face in profile, just enough so my peripheral saw another Moonie pointing a feeder our way, but definitely from a distance. Scenic route? Darrow nodded and headed right. The narrow hallway immediately curved, and I could see her strategy. If the Erkennans or Marshals were monitoring our progress via the real story, they'd think we were headed in the wrong direction. At least for a little while. Without warning, Darrow darted left up a half-flight of muddy stairs. They led to a mid-level floor between Lower London and Darkside proper. The stairs dumped us into a cramped, deserted hallway of corrugated metal that felt more like a military ship than a livable community. You really know your way around here.
Unfortunately.
She angled her head up the hallway.
He isn't far.
We stepped off, quiet as mice. Thumbing slugs into my .38, I asked, How'd you find him?
He's a science genius, right? Those types don't have jobs, they have obsessions. I scanned for nodes in Darkside, placing excessive demands on the local net. Only the brothels in the uptop pull that kind of bandwidth. Until now.
I thought of the porn closets in Minnie's place and nodded. Their floors are sticky, but the booths are private, and cheap considering the quality of the 3D video feed. Or so I've been told. Smart, but how do you know it's him? Darrow shrugged.
In the last 2 days, there's been a terabyte of data exchanged with a server off Moon, she said. Either someone's opened a new porn franchise down here for an underclass that can't afford electricity on a regular basis, or it's Blaylock.
Good detecting, detective. But that's a pretty big footprint to leave behind. Awful easy to trace.
They think no one's looking anymore, remember?
She put her ear to the door. Maybe. This the only way in? Instead of answering, Darrow placed her fingertips against the rusty latch and slowly pushed down. This can't be that easy, I said. She drew her weapon as the door inched open. Hey, something's wrong, I warned. This is too— The door creaked open on metal hinges. A lone, fritzing light bulb hummed in the ceiling, casting shadows into the corners of the room. Darrow eased her way in. I followed, despite my better instincts, drawing one of the Mark IIs I'd taken off the dead ghost. Maybe the latest stunner model would work, and maybe it wouldn't. I had my .38 in my other hand, just in case. The room was empty. It smelled like fish wrapped in a sweaty sock and left in the sun for a week. But for being only half a floor up from the sewer, it wasn't too bad. Bare walls, rusty, like the door latch. A floor mosaicked with decades-old dark stains. The room might have once housed school children specializing in ground-level finger painting. Or it could have been a room where murder was done on a regular basis. Hard to tell under that sputtering yellow light. I gave Darrow an inquisitive look as we moved deeper in. She shone a light on the far wall. Another door. She put her ear to that one, too, and stepped back quickly.
Bingo.
My ear did its own recon. The rust flaked when I pressed against the metal. Low voices, bored and tired of smelling fishy socks.
You sure this is him?
In answer, Darrow pressed the door latch down. This one was unlocked, too.
Yeah, it was too easy. Way too easy. But here we were, and Tony expected results. And soon.
All right, here's how we'll play it, I said. I'll go up top through the vents, and Darrow pushed every pound of her slight weight against the heavy door. It swung open, the scarred metal screaming.
Marshal Service, everyone stay right where you are!
Cursing, I brought up my own artillery to cover her as she moved in. Six pairs of surprised eyes turned to look at us. Four more of the ghosts with new shoes and newer weapons. One doughy, bespectacled type who looked like he really needed to take a dump, and one very well-dressed corporate elite type. He looked familiar, even in the half-light. One of the fake resistance types started to reach for her weapon.
Uh-uh,
I said, motioning with my .38. Slowly, but first. I want them all lined up on the table over there, all of you. The elite type smiled wide.
Welcome, Mr. Fisher. We've been waiting for you.
It's when he spoke that I recognized him. The mid-European accent sold it. Rauf Erkennen. Those puzzle pieces in the back of my head, they were gyrating like one of Minnie's girls after 10 minutes. The head of the Erkennen faction made a slight bow.
And you must be the Maverick Marshal, he said to Darrow.
My dear, you have no idea how much trouble you've caused me.
Not as much as you're gonna get, I said. Now, you stooges, I told you already. Put your stunners on the table.
Do nothing of the kind,
Erkennen said. Not that he'd needed to, they hadn't moved.
Fisher, put down your weapons. You too, my dear.
Darrow scoffed and tightened her grip on her stunner. Points for Moxie.
You have two choices, Erkennen said. Drop your weapons, or drop with them.
I've never been good at math, but I didn't need to be. There were five stunners pointed at us, and I knew, with my luck, they'd work like a charm. Darrow had hers, and I had my .38, but I had zero confidence in the stunner in my other hand, even if it was new tech. Especially because it was new tech. Even if it did work, that was 5-3 in the first round of fire. We might get a couple of them, but we were definitely going down.
Darrow, do it, I said.
Like hell!
Erkennen exhaled boredom.
Shoot her.
Wait! Darrow!
I nodded at her and caught her attention. My eye darted to her belt line.
No sense dying sooner than we have to, do it.
She thought about it a moment longer, but she'd caught the hint I'd tossed her way.
Fine.
Squatting straight down, she placed her stunner on the ground. Smart girl. I did likewise.
Very good.
Turning to the dumpy guy, Erkennen said,
How close are you to finishing the composition matrix?
Dumpy guy shrugged, nervous. Had to be Blaylock, who else?
It's almost finished. The algorithm subroutines are populating the pattern, and once they're finished, the final formula—
I don't need the geek details, Erkennen groused. Get it done.
What's this all about? I asked, playing dumb. I was good at that. I took a couple of steps forward, like from curiosity. What's this mega extra smoky hemp for? You gonna get everyone in the solar system high so you can take over? Erkennen gave me the strangest look.
What?
It's called molecularly enhanced synthetic hemp,
Professor Geek corrected. I motioned to him. Whatever, the new drug he's making. How does it help you take over the company? Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed Darrow getting fascinated.
Here's the big picture you were unaware of, Marshal.
You think we're making a drug here?
Erkennen laughed out loud.
Is that what Tony thinks? We're gonna smoke him out, eh?
The guffaws from his men filled the room, trying to please the boss. Even Blaylock snickered, the brainy little shit.
Hemp isn't typically a drug, Darrow said. Same plant as marijuana, but different purpose. It's typically used to make clothing.
Very good, my dear, Erkennen said, pleased. She's smarter than you and Tony put together, Fisher.
And that's when those magnetic puzzle pieces snapped together with seamless edges. I knew I had to stop this conversation right now, at least for the moment. I stared straight at the head of the Erkennen faction and marched across the space separating us. His goons brought up their guns, but their boss waved them off. I think he wanted me in his face, and to be in mine. As far as he knew, I was unarmed. "Whatever this new tech is, you've got zero chance going up against Tony Talkie," I said. I was close enough to spit on Erkennen. I needed him angry. "Tony will grind you and your whole faction into the ground. That new wife of yours, just wait till you're spaced." A kind word from Tony, and Erkennen stepped back to get strength behind it and cracked me against the side of the head with the butt of his Mark II. I went down harder than I had to and stayed there, shaking my head to make it look good.
"Say something else about her, Fisher," Erkennen growled. "I wanted to keep you alive long enough so you'd understand exactly what's going to happen to Tony Talkie. But maybe I can forego that bit of personal satisfaction."
I motioned with my hand like I'd had enough. Standing up slowly, rubbing my temple, I leaned against the wall and fake-breathed hard.
"So, if it's not a drug strain, what is it he's making?" I asked again.
Erkennen jutted his head. "Tell him, Mason. He can take the secret with him into space."
Professor Geek stood up. He was proud of his creation. He wanted to give it its due.
"Molecularly enhanced synthetic hemp, or mesh, is a new kind of scalable cloth, capable of absorbing and dissipating any catalyst used to ignite and direct electromagnetic current."
Blaylock confirmed what I'd already guessed. Everything was crystal clear. What the tech actually was, why Erkennen had hidden it from the other factions, and how mesh, all by itself, could make Ra'uf Erkennen head of the entire Syndicate Corporation. Mesh wasn't a drug. Mesh was a shield. A molecular shield that could be woven right into a person's clothing. A shield that protected against stunners and their ability to kill by capturing and amplifying a person's EM field to shock them to death. Those that wore it were protected. Those that didn't were just as vulnerable as ever. "The faux ghosts in the corridor outside the Marshal's post," I said, connecting the dots. "They were wearing a prototype. That's why my stunner wouldn't work on them."
Erkennen smiled. "Oh, and about that, I have to compliment you and the Marshal for the show you put on.
I couldn't have planned it better myself. The footage of Tony Talkie's main man and a renegade Marshal gunning down ghosts, all the rage in the basement. Perfect recruiting material for the Resistance. And while Tony's stamping down that little grass fire, I'll move on Syncorp HQ. By the time the Talkies or any of the other factions can react, I'll control the station."
The image of Erkennen mooks dressed in mesh-laden uniforms gunning down Talkie operatives filled my head. They'd be invincible with the new tech. While the other factions would steal it soon enough and make their own shielded clothing, that wouldn't happen in time to save Tony. Or keep Ra'uf Erkennen from taking over Syncorp.
"Humanity's just getting back on its feet," Darrow said. "We're not even two generations out from damned near extinction, and you'd risk turning all that inside out for power?"
"Stick to your duties, my dear," Erkennen said. "Let the big boys do the big thinking."
"Yeah, Darrow," I added. "He's a smart guy. He's thought of everything." Erkennen gave me a look. My words sounded right, but their smartassery was wanting.
"And for all the dirty jobs you pulled for Tony,"
he brought up his stunner.
"On behalf of the other four factions, I'm about to pay you off."
I stood my ground. "Before you do, one more question."
"Make it quick."
"Can the Mark IIs get past the mesh?"
"Of course,"
Erkennen allowed. "But since we're the only ones that have both, it doesn't really matter." "Well, I wouldn't say that," I said, nodding to the spot where I'd taken the dive earlier. "See that?" Erkennen peered closely. When he saw the feeder where I'd put it on the floor, its red transmission light shining, his face went pale. His little scheme had just gone out live to anyone tuned in to the real story, as had the secret of the mesh and the new Mark II stunner. Every member of all five factions would now be seeking both techs in earnest. I flashed him a toothy grin. Now guess who's got a fire to stamp out.
Why, you son of a—
Darrow, now! I saw the blur of her body duck and roll as I launched myself backward. The mooks in blue were caught flat-footed. Erkennen's shot hit the wall behind my empty air. Darrow lobbed the flash grenade from behind her back straight at Blaylock. I almost didn't clamp my eyes shut in time. The air brightened like a sunburst. Grunts and cursing followed. I grabbed up my Mark II from the floor and started firing. Punk, punk! Two fake ghosts became real ones. Darrow angled at a third, still dazed by the grenade. With a lithe efficiency I took half a second to admire, she rolled to one of the newly minted corpses, snagged his stunner, and shot the third man dead. Her cannon was no lightweight. Blinking furiously, he was back on his feet and sweeping his own stunner around the room, firing randomly. I ducked and scooped up the .38 and turned on him. Two shots later, he was short a kneecap and screaming on the ground. I took a moment to enjoy his pain, and that was a rookie mistake. I felt the threat long before I saw it. The last of the hired help, his Mark II aimed point-blank at me, ready to give me the shock of my life. Slow motion took over, and I could feel the cold stroke of Death's fingers on the back of my neck. Punk! His body convulsed, his stunner shot went wide, and he fell lifeless to the floor with the others. I caught Darrow's eye and nodded my thanks. First time I'd ever had use for a badger. That just left Blaylock. The flash grenade had caught him full on. He was just stirring, moaning. Watch him, I said to Darrow, pointing at Raouf Erkennen. He was inventing all kinds of four-letter combinations with my name sprinkled on top. Put a tourniquet above his knee if you can find something to use. I don't want him dying just yet. And I wanted to keep her busy. I had business to attend to. Walking over to the feeder, I crushed it under my boot. Its work was done. Erkennen's plot to overthrow Tony had gone out live to anyone watching the real story, which had lived up to its name today, boyo. I turned to Blaylock. Is this everything? I asked, pointing at his workstation. The formula, how to make it, all that? He was still blinking, trying to get his bearings. Blaylock! Startled, he tried to crawl through the wall.
Yes, everything is there. The molecular formula, the thresholds for performance, the—
He saw me pointing the Mark II at his head.
Wait, you don't need to kill me. I was only—
Following orders. Yeah, I know.
Fisher, you can't murder him in cold blood.
I have my orders, too, I said. But I hesitated, and that's not like me. I think something inside me didn't want to disappoint Darrow. I liked her, admired her even, and she had just saved my life.
Please,
Blaylock cried.
I can help Tony Talkie, I can—
Geeks are a dime a dozen these days, I said, remembering my contract, which makes your example all the more necessary.
Please!
I pulled the trigger, and Blaylock's body stiffened, electrocuted by his own EM field. I heard Darrow gasp behind me.
God damn it, Fisher!
Darrow shouted, getting to her feet.
I'm arresting you for the—
She trailed off when she saw me pointing the Mark II her way. Her eyes darted to her own weapon laying on the floor. She'd put it down to tend to her cannon. Too far out of reach.
Do it then,
she said.
Just do it.
I'm not gonna kill you, Darrow, I said. I told you earlier. She stared straight down the barrel of my fancy new stunner.
Then what?
I thumbed the setting down. Technically, a stunner could be true to its name. It didn't have to be lethal. In my business, it was hardly ever used that way. Sweet dreams, I said.
Fisher!
I pulled the trigger, but was a hair too slow to help ease Darrow to the ground. She collapsed, but not too hard. I took a moment to wonder what her future might be with the service, since she'd disobeyed orders from the top. They wouldn't kill her now. They didn't need to. And her mug had been all over the real story. Too high profile to get rid of, at least right off the bat.
If they spaced her, it'd be after the hubbub from the livecast died down. Rauf Erkennen had begun to move, gasping with every stretch of his limbs. He was reaching for Darrow's weapon. I kicked it away. "Congratulations on ruining your faction, Rauf," I said. "Tony's going to absorb the Erkennens like a bad stain."
"Fuck you,"
he said through clenched teeth.
"Torki is still finished. Wait till Gregor hears what you've done here. He'll—"
"Your brother? Gregor? If he knows what's good for him, he'll play ball with Tony. Maybe the Torkis will even let the Erkennens live." As I moved to stand over him, Erkennen had to crane his neck. "Well, all but one." The fear in his eyes, then. It seemed foreign. He'd been the big cheese for so long, giving orders and being obeyed. Now he was just another rat about to be shot like the vermin he was. "Last words?" I asked, bringing the .38 up. I'm nothing if not a traditionalist.
"Fuck you."
"Good as any, I guess." I plugged him right between the eyes, the blast echoing around the metal walls. As he slumped, I took stock of the room. 4 dead mooks, 1 dead geek, 1 dead faction leader too big for his britches, and 1 sleeping marshal. After she woke up, I knew Darrow would feel compelled to make an official report. Images of Rauf Erkennen's third eye would be all over the basement before lunar sunrise, I figured. And most everyone would see it as justice served after that little confession he'd broadcast. Maybe even Darrow would come to see it that way in time, if she lived long enough. I grabbed Blaylock's pad, full of the greatest invention since the stunner itself, and headed for the door. Tony would be happy. Before stepping through, I turned and regarded Darrow one last time. Even unconscious, her fierce beauty I'd noted earlier, bolstered now by seeing firsthand her strength of dedication to right for right's sake, impressed itself on me. Part of me hated leaving her to her fate. "See you around, kid. Good luck with the law." The Favor.
"Hey, Stax, how's life in the killing business?"
Tony asked as I walked into his office. "Tolerable," I answered like always. It was our old way of greeting one another after a job. I sat down and smiled. He must be happy since he's calling me by my preferred handle. I hate Eugene. Tony happy? Everybody happy.
"Nice work out there,"
he said in a rare show of genuine appreciation.
"And good work keeping your face off camera."
"Thanks. I see Gregor Erkennen got out in front of the bad news." Tony chuckled. Gregor had wasted no time disavowing his older brother after hearing Rauf confess. According to Gregor, the elder Erkennen and his super scientist had pursued the mesh technology all on their own, outside normal company protocols. Gregor's story explained both why Rauf had hidden Mesh's development in Darkseid from his own brother, and why the Erkennen faction had originally reported Blaylock's actions as corporate espionage. There'd been a power play within the faction, too, discovered by Gregor after Blaylock had disappeared. And Rauf had lost. "You sure the brothers Erkennen weren't in on it together?"
"I'm sure."
He said it in a way that raised my eyebrows. "Wait a minute. Wait a minute." Tony waited. "Was Gregor Erkennen your little bird on the inside?" Tony's face was uncharacteristically unexpressive.
"Doesn't really matter now, does it?"
Like usual, he kept his whole cards to himself. Tony doesn't like sharing secrets he doesn't have to. Not even with me. "Well, that opportunistic little—" I marveled at the human capacity for betrayal. "What about the mesh? What happens to it?"
"Gregor will have a distribution plan for me by Monday."
"Distribution plan?"
"Protection against stunners is an advantage," Tony said.
Then, after a beat,
"Unless everyone has it."
My eyebrows went up again. "So, you're giving it to all the factions?"
"Along with the Mark IIs," he said. "My people are looking into how to upgrade the mesh to protect against the new stunner."
"So,
Gregor Erkennen had uncovered his brother's plans after what looked like simple espionage by a wayward employee, plotted with Tony to get Raouf out of the way, and was now in charge of the family business, and set to make a huge personal profit when the other four factions ponied up for the new tech. Keeping the balance by keeping everyone without an advantage over the others, I said, impressed. Mutually assured protection.
Something like that.
And you get to be the company hero by handing everyone access to the new tech. Tony was nothing if not a showman, a real natural at the theater of running the company. He winked like he knew I was thinking that, and that sliver of human cleverness made the machine-like facade of his face all the more terrifying. Nice insurance policy for the status quo, too, I said. Tony grinned.
I thought so, too.
I sighed my satisfaction at successfully closing another contract. My bank account was bigger, my boss was happy. Life was good.
What about you, Stax? I'm feeling generous today. You got paid, sure. A bonus, maybe, or...
He left the air empty for me to fill it with a favor. I thought it over. Whether he had a real desire to reward me or recognized an opportunity to do me a kindness he'd ask to be repaid one day, I wasn't sure. I decided it didn't really matter. Well, there's one thing. Tony waited. I cleared my throat. This would be tricky. The Marshal. Darrow.
What about her, Eugene?
Gugh, not a good start. She was a big help. Without her, I'd never have found Blaylock, and even if I had, we were outnumbered and out-teched. I hate to see her rotting in a cell, stripped of her badge for only doing her job. Tony frowned.
She disobeyed a direct order from me. She's lucky to be alive.
You asked what I wanted, Tony. I shrugged like it didn't really matter to me, like she hadn't saved my life while I reveled in Raouf Erkennen's pain. I hoped he'd buy it. Up to you. Tony Talkie eyed me for a moment, a hint of the cold blue mixed with the businessman's calculated stare.
If she's so good, maybe I should hire her then and pack you off to Planitia Prime.
It was an empty threat. I was the best corporate enforcer in the business, and Tony knew that. It's why I worked for the Talkies and not one of the other factions. Retirement? On Mars? Me? I made a joke of it. Oh, that'll be the day. He held me in his steely stare a moment longer, then burst out laughing.
All right, then. I'll see that she's reinstated only as a special favor to you, Stax. But there need to be consequences for her disobeying orders.
I reckon so.
I'll leave that up to the service to decide. Nothing career-ending, though.
Fair enough. I rose and gathered my coat and hat. I'd have to get a new mesh set made, and soon. See you around, Tony. I left the boss's office and headed for the slate to shoot the shit with Mickey Stoats and have a scotch and a beer. Or maybe six. Quality downtime was something I'd begun to appreciate more and more since passing the half-century mark. It's the sunnier side of becoming less patient with bullshit as you get older. Maybe after I slept off today's revels, I'd hop the hearse back to Darkseid and visit Minnie. She'd seemed anxious to have me spend some quality downtime with her. Up and downtime, actually. Yeah, exchanging pleasantries with Minnie might be just the thing. A pleasurable distraction until Tony called me in to execute a new contract. Pun intended.
The Firebug and the Pharaoh by Daniel Aronson. Mayreed Firebug McQueen loved three things: a good romp in bed, an ice-cold beer, and killing aliens. Today, she was hoping for all three. She leaned back in her Firebird's cockpit, kicked off her boots, and slapped her bare feet onto the dashboard. She tossed back her red hair, lit a cigar, and took a puff.
All right, lads, Mayreed said, speaking into her comm. We do this quick and easy. We'll be in and out before they know what hit 'em. She glanced out the cockpit at the starfighter beside her.
Sort of how you bang a lass, Pharaoh.
Ramses Pharaoh Al-Masri, the pilot flying nearby, flipped her off. Mayreed gave him a wink. She shoved down the throttle, and her Firebird blazed forth.
Try to keep up, lads!
She blew a smoke ring, charging through space.
Us one there does our laundry.
Ramses stormed forward at her side, his starfighter just barely keeping up. She could practically hear him cringe through the comm.
I'm not touching your unmentionables, he said.
Mayreed snorted.
Unmentionables? What the muck are you, the Queen of England? You know I'm descended of Egypt's great pharaohs,
Ramses said.
Show some respect.
She rolled her eyes.
I'll show you my freckled arse if you beat me to the planet.
The other Firebirds raced close behind them. They were 15 starfighters, an entire squad, all under Mayreed's command. She was only 23. She was the youngest pilot here. But she was also the best damn pilot the heirs of Earth had. And she never let anyone forget it. Even now, as she charged to battle, Mayreed gave a showy barrel roll. Her starfighter's twin engines left a double helix of fire. Mayreed loved serving on large starships like the ISS Jerusalem, cavernous frigates one could get lost in. She loved fighting on planets, the sun baking her hair, the ground firm beneath her feet. But she loved flying her Firebird. This small starfighter, just large enough for one pilot, this was true freedom. The fleet's hulking warships were far behind her now. Only a handful of Firebirds flew here. Around Mayreed spread the galaxy in all its splendor. Countless stars. A great spiral arm that spilled across the distance. Nothing but open space and adventure. And somewhere out there, beyond the darkness, too far to see, Earth waited. At least, that's what the legend said. Mayreed wasn't sure she believed Earth existed. Oh, she had said her vows like everyone else. When she had joined the heirs of Earth, she had professed her belief in Earth, had sworn to bring humanity home. But it seemed laughable. An actual homeworld for humanity? There were thousands of alien civilizations in this galaxy. They all had planets of their own. All but humans. For thousands of years we wandered the darkness, Mayreed thought. Hiding, hunted, dying, a species without a home. So no, maybe Earth did not truly exist. Maybe, as many claimed, humans had always been homeless, doomed to forever wander the galaxy, fleeing the hunters. But Mayreed was no animal of prey. She would not be hunted. I am the huntress, she thought. And there ahead she saw it, their destination. From here it was only a green dot, soon growing into a sphere. The jungle world of Seropia.
If the galaxy has an arsehole, it's this planet, Mayreed muttered. Language, Ramses said.
She scoffed.
Sorry, Mother.
The 15 Firebirds flew closer. Seropia grew larger, soon filling half their field of vision. A rainforest covered the equatorial regions, fading to grasslands, deserts, and finally hinterlands and frozen poles. It was a nice world as far as they went. Most worlds were lifeless, airless chunks of rock. Seropia was lush with life. That was its blessing, but also its curse. Pretty much every plant and animal on the planet would kill you.
Why the hell did humans ever bother settling here?
Mayreed muttered.
They didn't settle here, Ramses said softly. They're hiding here.
Mucked up place to hide, if you ask me,
Mayreed said.
They say there are mosquitoes the size of horses, venomous trees with claws on their branches, and raw-damned dinosaurs. Dinosaurs, Pharaoh! Giant reptiles who will bite off your tadger if you pull it out to piss.
Language,
Ramses said again.
But yes, you're right. Nobody in their right mind would settle Seropia. Which is why, I presume, the human colonists chose it. The Peacekeeper Corps, the Skrashen Empire, or anyone else who hunts us would have to be mad to visit. Of course humans would hide here.
Lovely idea,
Mayreed muttered.
At least until the dinos start chomping their way at tadgers and we're called in to save them. she sighed. No matter. I've always wanted to kick a dino up the arse. Good day for it.
They flew onward toward the planet. The call had come in only yesterday, only a few words sent into the darkness. Only 50 of us remain. We are human. We are hunted. Help us, heirs of Earth.
And so the heirs of Earth were coming to help.
Whenever humans were in danger, the heirs of Earth would be there. We are a homeless species, Mayreed thought, endangered, scattered across 1,000 worlds. Aliens hunt us everywhere. But we are not powerless. We have the heirs of Earth. The 15 starfighters plunged into the planet's atmosphere, ionizing the air. They dived down like flaming comets, moving faster than sound. The rich yellow sky spread around them, filled with golden haze and blankets of silver clouds. They slowed down and dived through the clouds, emerging into curtains of rain. The wet sheet swayed and shimmered around them. Jungle spread below, covering the land, parting only for a snaking river. It felt like flying through an oil painting, still wet and blending and changing with every brushstroke. Freedom, Mayreed thought. Beauty. She wondered what Earth looked like, assuming it was real. She had never seen Earth, of course. No human had in 2,000 years. But she had heard tales. They said Earth's sky was blue, her forests green, her fields golden. The description sounded drab to Mayreed. She imagined that in real life, Earth would have a million shades like this planet, but less like a dramatic oil painting. More like a watercolor painting, gentle and beautiful. Maybe Earth is real, Mayreed thought. Maybe someday I'll fly in that sky too. Maybe someday I'll fly not to battle, but to... Dark shapes rose from the jungle ahead, tearing her from her thoughts. Mayreed leaned forward, staring.
What the hell? She squinted. Are those enemy ships, or...
Ramses, flying beside her, inhaled sharply.
Dinos!
Mayreed's eyes widened.
Bloody hell! The size of them!
The beasts came flying toward the starfighters, 20 or more. Yes, these were living creatures, their wings massive. Giant flying reptiles. They were not true dinosaurs, of course. They were aliens. But the nickname served them well. The animals were primitive, prodigious, and pissed off.
They're taking battle formations, Mayreed said.
Ramsey snorted.
They're just animals, Firebug.
Yeah, well, I know a damn Kumarau Gambit assault formation when I see one.
Mayreed sneered and switched on her cannons.
Prepare for a battle, lads!
The flying dinosaurs were close now, only seconds away. Each creature was easily the size of a Firebird starfighter. Their jaws thrust out, lined with teeth like swords. Their claws gleamed, their wings stirred the rain. Ramses cleared his throat.
Firebug, may I remind you that the heirs of Earth forbid harming native alien life forms. Our mission is to save humans, not to...
The flying dinosaurs opened their jaws and blasted out fire. The flaming jets spun like tornadoes, crackling, spraying sparks. Mayreed cried out and jerked her yoke, swerving. She dodged a jet. She nearly slammed into the Firebird beside her. The others were desperate to flee too. One Firebird tried to rise, but another starfighter flew directly above. A fiery jet washed over the Firebird. The pilot screamed. The cockpit melted under the blaze. The starfighter careened and plunged toward the jungle.
Kill those copy wallopers!
Mayreed cried, pulling her triggers. Her Firebird's Gatling guns fired. A hailstorm of bullets flew toward the flying beasts. The other Firebirds charged, releasing more volleys. Several dinos fell, wings riddled with bullet holes. The other aliens scattered, soared, and vanished into the clouds. The remaining Firebirds kept gliding over the forest.
Come back, you bastards!
Mayreed shouted at the clouds.
Firebirds, chase the damn dinos, we'll kill every last...
Firebug,
Ramsey said.
This is not our mission.
They killed Captain DeVries, she cried. It's personal now, it's...
Suddenly, from the clouds above, descended a rain of fire. Flaming pillars slammed into two more Firebirds. Two more pilots screamed, their starfighters shattering.
Muck!
Mayreed thought. The dinos were learning. She sneered, tugged back her yoke, and soared into the clouds. The dinos were waiting there. Raw damn, there were 100 or more now. When they saw Mayreed entering their cloudy domain, they unleashed a torrent of hellfire her way. Mayreed screamed and barrel-rolled. She spun madly, wings like a propeller scattering clouds. The dinosaur fire spurted around her, grazing her hull, charring one wing. Die, you bastards. Mayreed released two missiles. The missiles flew, screaming through the clouds, leaving fiery wakes. And missed. They missed! Of course they missed, Mayreed thought. The missiles were heat-seeking. The dinos were cold-blooded reptiles. And they reached her firebird. The beasts grabbed her hull, scratched her fuselage, pecked her wings. By Ra, the animals were huge. They were larger than her starfighter. Their red eyes stared through her cockpit, and she saw intelligence. She dipped out of the clouds. Three of the animals clung to her, weighing her down, her hull dented. One of the beasts raised its massive jaw. It had a snout like a damn battering ram. The dino thrust its snout forward, slamming it into her cockpit. The transparent canopy shattered. Mayreed screamed. The wind whipped her, billowing her red hair. Shards of plastic stung her. Her ship tumbled through clouds and rain and smoke. The dino clung to her starfighter, shrieking. Its snout reached into her shattered cockpit, each tooth like a katana. One of those teeth scraped Mayreed's arm, and blood spurted. Her starfighter plunged downward, careening, tumbling toward the forest. The beast opened its jaws wide, screeching so loudly Mayreed screamed in agony. She drew a pistol from her belt.
Is lad hooch!
She fired on automatic, emptying a magazine into its open jaws. Its brain splattered across her dashboard. Its body slumped off her prow and tumbled down. Mayreed was near the ground now, far below the other firebirds. Two dinos were still gripping her fuselage, shoving her toward the forest. Mayreed struggled not to pass out. She could barely breathe. The G-force was pounding her. Wind shrieked through the shattered canopy, whipping her face with rain, each drop like a hornet sting. With a shaky hand, she reached toward her bloody dashboard. She flipped a red switch. Her engines roared on full afterburner. Searing, white-hot fire burst out from her exhaust. The two dinos screamed and released her firebird. Mayreed wanted to grab her helmet and oxygen tank. She had no time. She spun around, faced the two burnt dinos and opened fire. Her missiles slammed into them at point-blank range. The missiles exploded as she soared. The dino splattered her starfighter with a million chunks of gooey meat. Mayreed grabbed her helmet, put it on, and inhaled deeply. She flew higher and found the rest of her squadron battling the last few dinos. She rejoined the fight, sneering. She flew with furious speed, bullets flying, missiles blasting, slaying the beasts. She was Captain Mayreed McQueen. She was the best damn pilot humanity had. And she proved it in this alien sky. Finally, the last dinos turned to flee. This time, they did not come back. Mayreed sent a missile after them, taking out one of the cowards. The others squawked and vanished around a mountain.
Yeah, you better run, you scabby bastards, she said.
The dinos had taken out five of her firebirds, five of her friends, a third of her squadron. A squadron we need to fight the damn scorpions who hunt us across the galaxy, she thought. The humans on this planet better be worth it.
Come on, Mayreed said into her comm, shoving down the rising horror. Let's find these humans and get the hell out of here.
The rest of the fleet kept flying. Ramses was still here. That was good. Mayreed would never admit it, but she was relieved. She liked Pharaoh, even if he sometimes beat her at cards. They flew several times faster than sound. The forests and rivers streamed beneath them. Finally, they saw it ahead, the valley the Mayday had come from. The words from the distress call returned to her. Only 50 of us remain. We are human. We are hunted. Help us, heirs of Earth. Mayreed shuddered. In the valley below, she saw signs of civilization. A collapsed barn, trampled fields, ravaged gardens and fallen huts. A town had been here. A human town. Mayreed saw the skeletons.
"What the hell happened here?" she said. "Did the damn dinos do all this? They're only animals. They should care about nothing more than eating and mucking. What made them go berserk?"
Ramses inhaled sharply.
"Look."
The firebirds glided through sheets of rain, emerged into a sunlit field, and saw it. Mayreed lost her breath. Dinosaurs. Hundreds of them. Maybe thousands. An entire army of alien dinosaurs. These were not the aerial ones. Here were large land animals, each one the size of a damn T-Rex. They were charging, attacking a stone silo from all sides. Atop the silo, Mayreed saw them. Humans.
"Kill the damn reptiles!" she shouted.
She flew above the beasts and released her bombs. Dinosaurs exploded below. Her fellow firebirds dived and released their own ordnance. Explosions rocked the valley. Chunks of dinosaurs flew. The beasts below roared. The valley shook. Hundreds of the reptiles raised their heads and blasted up fire. Flaming pillars soared like volcano fire. Mayreed jerked her yoke from side to side, swerving around a thousand columns of flame. She flew closer to the ground, firing bullets. Dinosaurs fell, their fire dying. She carved a path through the flaming pillars. Atop the silo, the last few humans were fighting too. They had cannons, rifles, grenades. Dead dinosaurs were piled up around them. Mayreed didn't understand it. Clearly the humans had been living here for years. After all, they had built a town, barns, had plowed the fields. What had caused the dinosaurs to go mad, to attack like an army? And since when did damn animals blow fire? She had no time to contemplate it further. The beasts below were regrouping. The massive reptiles forgot about the silo now. They were concentrating their fire on the starfighters. A jet slammed into a firebird and the pilot screamed. His starfighter plunged down, slammed into several dinos and exploded. Another starfighter shattered in midair. The starfighters rose and swooped again and again, exhausting their missiles and bombs, finally firing only bullets. Dinosaur corpses piled up, but more of the animals kept emerging from the jungle, swarming across the valley, and attacking both the silo below and the starfighters above.
"What the hell?"
Mayreed shouted, dodging another fiery jet.
"Firebug, we have to flee," Ramses said. "We'll come back with heavy bombers. We'll... By the time we get back, every damn colonist in that silo will be dead," she shouted.
Mayreed rose and dived again, firing bullets. She swerved around another flaming jet. Sparks flew into her shattered cockpit, singeing her. Mayreed narrowed her eyes, examining the valley. "The dinosaurs are moving like soldiers," she thought. But it was impossible. They were dumb animals. Had to be. Mayreed had read every report about this planet, knew the wildlife was vicious, but mindless. And yet she saw it now. The dinosaurs were moving in units, brigades, battalions, swarming at the vanguard, protecting the flanks, spraying fire. There was something vaguely familiar about that. Mayreed gasped. Memories flooded her. 2 years ago, she had been only a lieutenant. She had attacked a planet overrun with scorpions. She had seen a thousand of the beasts attack a human settlement. The heirs of Earth had failed to save those humans, and Mayreed had never forgotten that defeat. A scar from that day still stretched across her left ribs. "These dinosaurs move like scorpions," she thought. "They're drones," she whispered.
"What?"
Ramses said, flying above her now.
"The dinosaurs!" she shouted. "They're raw damn drones! The scorpions must have done something to them. They're controlling their brains somehow." "Firebug, listen to yourself," Ramses said. "Zombie dinos?"
She ignored him. She spoke into her calm.
"All pilots, surround the valley, face inward, and blast out an EMP attack. Disrupt all signals on every frequency. If there are any radio signals flying here, I want them jammed. If there are any electronics in this valley, I want them fried. Go, now!
The Firebirds spread out, flying in rings around the valley. Mayreed turned on her EMP system, a weapon designed to disrupt alien tech. Admiral Emmett had insisted on installing these systems on all Firebird fighters. Mayreed had always thought them useless, but now she was willing to try.
Fire! She cried.
She blasted out EMP pulses from her starfighter. Around the valley, the other Firebirds bathed the valley with electromagnetic radiation. It was harmless to flesh, but it was devastating to electronics. For a moment, nothing happened. The starfighters kept flying, pounding the valley with pulse after pulse. And then the dinosaurs fell. Wave after wave of them collapsed. Soon the valley was covered with dead aliens. Mayreed exhaled in relief. She landed her Firebird by the silo, crushing a dead dinosaur's tail. She climbed out of the cockpit and leaped onto the grass. The dead reptiles spread around her. From down here, they seemed even larger. Most were larger than her starfighter. There were various species. Some were carnivores with massive, toothy jaws. Others were herbivores, and they were even larger, lying across the valley like beached whales. Mayreed approached one of the dead dinos. She frowned.
What the hell?
There was an electronic device lodged into the dino's head. It looked like a spark plug. The round tip crackled, glowing blue. Mayreed grabbed the device, placed her foot against the lizard's carcass, and tugged back with all her strength. The implant came free with a spurt of blood. Cables stretched out from it, running through the wound and into the dinosaur's head. Mayreed spent a while fishing out the cables. It felt like pulling out a damn tapeworm. The cables finally came free, tips barking. The other starfighters landed in the field and their pilots emerged. Ramses approached her.
What the devil is that?
The tall man said. Mayreed stared at the bloody implant and dangling cables.
Scorpion tech! The scorpions were controlling them!
She couldn't suppress a shudder. The Skrashen, the giant scorpions from deep space, were the greatest enemies humanity faced. Mayreed had fought dozens of alien species. None were as vicious as the scorpions. Ramses stroked his pointy beard.
Damn, I can't believe this.
Mayreed raised an eyebrow.
Why not? You know, the scorpions are a technological species. If they can build starships, they can build crude mine jacks.
Not that,
Ramses said.
I mean, I can't believe you were right about something.
She punched him.
Oh, shut the hell!
Suddenly she stepped back, inhaling sharply. She drew her pistol. Ramses frowned.
What?
I just realized something,
she whispered.
If the scorpions controlled the dinos, that means...
Before she could complete her sentence, the ground cracked open, and the beast emerged. A creature of claws, of pincers large enough to slice a man in half. A Skrashen, a scorpion. It was smaller than the dinos, the size of a horse rather than a whale. But here was the species that had conquered half the galaxy, that was hunting humans everywhere. It was deadlier than 100 dinosaurs.